The principles that I'm going to teach you today are relevant basically wherever you are in business. Your approach to it might change a little bit because these are tried and true principles that always are going to continually need to be changed and tweaked in your business.
You're listening to Thrive by Design, business, marketing, and lifestyle strategies for your jewelry brand to flourish and thrive. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Thrive by Design podcast, episode 131. Happy New Year, everyone. It's Tracy Matthews here, your host today, and I am thrilled to be here kicking off a new year with a bang. It's 2018, guys, and we have a lot in store for you over here at Flourish and Thrive. I am just so excited about a new year. I'm excited in particular about this new year, 2018, because we have some really exciting things up our sleeves. In fact, yesterday, if you're listening to this the day that this episode is released, yesterday we started our signature jewelry brand makeover bootcamp. We are having a blast in the bootcamp right now. And if you aren't a part of it, I highly encourage you to head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/makeover. And this bootcamp is completely designed to help you, especially if you are trying to get more consistent sales. So this doesn't matter if you're just starting out and trying to get to that point where you actually have consistent sales, or if you're someone who has been in business for a little bit and you're just trying to get more consistent sales. Because I feel like no matter where you are in business, one of the things that always comes up, and we hear it from you guys over and over again, is how do I get either consistent sales or more consistent sales? So today, I have an episode all around that today. We're going to talk about 7.5 ways to get more consistent sales this year. I'm very excited about it. And this is going to be a super fun episode. So we wrap up our jewelry brand makeover bootcamp with a very, very special masterclass. And this masterclass is designed to take everything that we sort of kind of culminate or teach you, bring to you, discover everything that you're kind of discovering, I guess, in that bootcamp and bring it all together and show you how you can actually use this in your business to create an unforgettable brand, but also to get the more consistent sales that you're really looking for. And it really comes down to being able to successfully tie all of these principles together. And it's really easy. So I'd like to invite you to that masterclass. You can head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/unforgettable brand. And we'll also have all of these sort of links and invites in our show notes over at episode 131. But the thing I love about this masterclass is for those of you who join us live on the masterclass are going to get a really amazing blueprint that you can actually take down. It's the Unforgettable Jewelry Brand Blueprint. You can print it out, frame it. It's beautifully designed, so you can like frame it if you want to, put it on your wall, check it out, and make sure that you are like sort of following this core blueprint path that we give you in this masterclass every single day. And what this will start to help you do is not only keep it top of mind, but everything that you're sort of discovering in the masterclass, in the makeover bootcamp, will set the framework for everything that you do in your business. And you're going to see amazing results. Designers who took this, who went through this process last year, have increased their sales by things like 20%. We had one designer pick up 60 new wholesale accounts last year. We've heard so many amazing success stories. So whatever your version of success looks like, this can really happen for you when you put this into play. And, you know, it doesn't mean just showing up and like going through the things. You actually have to put some action behind it. You have to do what we say and put that into your business. But those who do really get amazing results. And we want that for you too. So stop spending your time at all the wrong trunk shows, wasting hours on social media platforms that aren't going to get you the results, or putting up what you think is the perfect website that's not making any money. Join us for this because your eyes are going to be opened. I promise you. Anyway, you can check that out over at flourishthriveacademy.com/unforgettable brand. So I know that you guys are all curious about how to lure in more of your dream clients and how to get more consistent sales in your business, or consistent sales if you're just starting out. So the principles that I'm going to teach you today are relevant basically wherever you are in business. Your approach to it might change a little bit based on where you are, though. Does that make sense? Am I clear? Because these are tried and true principles that always are going to continually need to be changed and tweaked in your business. But also something that you can absolutely, and I say the word absolutely, because this is important. In fact, I'm doing this right now in my business because I have some big goals for my jewelry business and some shifts that I'm trying to put into play for 2018. But these are things that you can absolutely put into play regardless of where you are in business. And especially if you feel like you've gotten a little bit off track, because more times than not, when a designer or a maker or a brand, however you identify yourself, everyone identifies themselves a little bit differently, gets off track and their sales kind of go awry, it's because they are not paying attention to some of the things that I'm going to walk you through today. So this episode is completely inspired by someone that I was working with on a one-on-one basis. She's actually part of our SOS coaching program now. She sent me a message and she said to me, "Tracy, I'm just curious, like, how long does it take to get consistent sales in my business? I'm just starting out. I'm so creative." And this designer in particular is really artistic. She has a ton of talent. And, you know, and I'm not going to reveal who it is, but she's really creative and has a ton of talent. And I know sometimes when you have high creativity levels, some of the other things in your business are really hard, can be overwhelming to kind of deal with. And I know that that has particularly at times been the case for her because she's trying to lay it out in a logical manner so she can sort of follow this step by step. So I'm really helping her, like handholding and helping her do that one by one. So, you know, I thought that this was an interesting answer because we sent out a little survey to our audience. And one of the things that people said over and over, regardless of how long they'd been in business, was, "How can I get consistent sales or more consistent sales when there's so much I have to do when running a jewelry business?" So you guys ready to dive in? Because I think this is going to be a great episode. So before I dive into some of the tactical stuff, I wanted to share a conversation that I was having with Rebecca on my team. She is a writer and she also has been studying all of this stuff with me so that we can work together to help bring you guys amazing content. And she was telling me the story about how her fiance, Zach, is a huge fisherman. And I kind of have mentioned this on some of the previous episodes, but I think it's really powerful. And I know sometimes you guys, I just want to drive this point home, I guess is maybe the best way to put it. She was talking about how Zach, you know, he loves to fish and, you know, sometimes he'll be fishing and he'll want to catch a certain type of fish. And so in order to catch that type of fish, he needs to change the lure on his fishing rod. So the same thing is, you can't catch like a big sea bass or something like that. I don't even know what kind of fish he catches, but with a lure that's meant for, you know, a freshwater trout, it's just not, they're not eating the same food. The lures are probably different sizes. You know, what attracts, you know, a sea bass is going to be different than a trout. And you need to really be thinking about this when it comes to your dream client. So I want to highlight this about how this would matter to you. I think one time the biggest problem with people when they're trying to get consistent sales is they're looking at the market at the places that are popular to sell at instead of, is this really a good fit for my product? And is my dream client really shopping there? So I'm going to give you a few examples. First example, you've probably heard me share this story before, but when I was sort of like in the middle years of Tracy Matthews Designs, my first jewelry business, I had this big dream of being into Barneys. And I was like in the process of sort of creating this fine jewelry collection that had the design aesthetic of my bridge line. So I say this because like for some of my clients, for some of the people I was selling to at the time, that was a great fit and the collection did really well. In fact, Sundance bought hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of that product. But I had this dream of being in Barneys and I was knocking on Barney's door nonstop, but it wasn't really what I was designing in my fine jewelry line wasn't really the right fit for Barney's. And I would be so frustrated. I'm like, why aren't they calling me back? Why aren't they answering my emails? Why won't they come see me at the shows? Even when, you know, I had met them before and they said that they were going to come and they're not showing up. And I realized that part of the reason, and this is all in hindsight, guys, like in the moment, I was not feeling this. I realized that my product wasn't really a good fit for what Barney's was doing at the time. Sure, there were some designers who were doing things similar to what I was doing, but it that Barney's was actually picking up. But on another note too, you know, those designers, like, so there's two things that buyers, like store buyers, and this is the same, it's like a general sort of rule of thumb. You know, when they're sorting content for a store, they want to, or merchandise for a store, I should say, they want to make sure that they're not competing with the lines that they already create. So there could be a couple of reasons why Barney's didn't actually pick up my line. Reason number one is most likely because it wasn't really the right fit. The collection wasn't merchandised in the right way, designed in the right way, that was really a right fit for their customer. But they might have also had some crossover stuff with other collections, and they felt that their assortment was already filled with the kind of stuff that I already do. So if you think about it that way, like, you know, it wasn't the right fit for my product line, at least at that time. And now if I continued with Tracy Matthews Designs and Tracy Matthews Fine, that fine jewelry line that I was designing, there at a point it might have evolved to a place where Barney's might have picked it up. But I decided to switch directions and move into my custom jewelry business direction instead of continuing wholesale back about 7 or 8 years ago. And so who knows what would have been happened with my fate at Barney's. But this is just a good example. Like, if you sell like $1,000 stack rings, you know, that are mom jewelry, like a mom blogger, probably a mom blogger that focuses on like how to, you know, teach moms to run their household on a budget, is not going to be a good fit for you, because the people who are shopping on that blog or reading that blog are looking for things that are super cheap. And the same goes true for those of you who, like, maybe are doing inexpensive stuff, pitching a magazine like Harper's Bazaar or W or Vogue, you know, probably isn't going to be the best fit. There are certain cases where it might work out if it's, you know, going along with their story, but it's probably not going to be the best fit for someone like you, because the people reading Vogue are aspirational readers. They don't always have money, but they're looking at the things that are really expensive because those are the things that they eventually want to buy. And this is really like more for high profile types of designers. So I hope that is the same as the lures. Like, you can't catch a sea bass with a trout lure. You know, you need the right sort of fishing hook in order to catch that fish. So I want you to think about this. Consider where your dream clients are actually buying their product. And this is an ongoing exercise for all of you. And I really like you to write this down if you're not driving or listening to this somewhere where you can't write it down. Is, I want you to maybe even post this on your wall. Where are my dream clients actually buying product? Is it online? Are they actually physical shoppers in stores? Is it a combination of both? And then where is that happening? And we dial all this down with something we like to call a dream client avatar. And we teach this in depth in our Laying the Foundation course. And we also have another intensive called the Dream Client Intensive. But if you haven't done this exercise and you don't continually refine it every single year, you're going to always struggle with where to be putting yourself out there. And this all trickles back to getting consistent sales. Do you see how that all ties in? I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. So I wanted to sort of wrap up this question, because one of the questions that my client was asking me is like, Tracy, how long did it take you? And I have to tell you, if you guys are really driven like I am, and you're really committed to getting yourself out there, and you can overcome all the scary feelings that you have with rejection and all that stuff, it won't take that long. If you are someone who gets overwhelmed easily and you need to lay it out, it will take you a little bit longer. And that's okay. It's nothing to be shameful about or concerned about, but you should just have like realistic expectations for yourself. When I first launched my first business and went full time, and I'm saying full time because I was always doing this as a side hustle, and I would have sales coming in on a regular basis. I think, I don't know why this number comes out to me, but in the 90s, I remember the year I got married, probably did about $13,000 in side hustle jewelry sales. That was back in the 90s. When I was doing it more consistently and I didn't have so much on my plate, and all those sales came from like people who I was designing bridesmaids jewelry for and trunk shows that I participated in, and maybe one or two stores. I was doing a little bit of consignment back then, but most of the sales actually came from trunk shows and in-person interaction and sample sales that I would have with my friends and their friends and family members and stuff like that. So we all start somewhere. If you're doing that, there's no shame in that. That's how I started. And I actually had a pretty good side gig. I was making like 13 grand on the side. There is no shame in that. I think that's pretty good money. But when I started full-time, I would say it took me about 6 months to get consistent sales. Because I would say partially because I'm a hustler and partially because my husband told me that if I didn't start getting sales, I was going to have to go back to my day job. I mean, because the reality was I did have a little bit of money saved up and that created a cushion. But at the end of the day, I still needed to make money to live. I needed money to invest back into my business and I needed to contribute to my household income back then. So, and I still do today. So it is, you know, this is always something that I'm always considering because I have a certain lifestyle that I want to live. I like traveling to go see my family. That's very important to me. And that requires money to be able to do it. And I also live in New York City, which is a very expensive city to live in. And I do this by choice. I know that I could probably own a big house if I lived somewhere else, but I choose to live in a city like this because I like what the benefits that it brings to me. So I keep all of these things in the back of my head as a consideration with how I need to get out there and hustle. So I'm always, and before that, I was living in San Francisco, which is a similar type of thing. So I know that if I want to, you know, sort of create this lifestyle for myself, I got to hustle and get sales. And so that was always the motivating factor to me. So I figured it out really quickly. And it's not rocket science, you guys. It really, a lot of this really just takes a commitment to yourself and a commitment to your brand to get it out there. And sure, it does require the right product, the right pricing, the right merchandising and all those things. But more than anything, it requires the right attitude. So let me dive into the 7.5 ways to get more consistent sales in your business or consistent sales if you're just starting out. And I'll be sharing more stories. I feel like I've shared a lot of stories already. I want to get into the nuts and bolts of this because I think it's really helpful. So if you haven't listened to episode number 130, make sure that you listen to it because I talked a lot about creating a strong brand story. And your brand story is everything sort of that makes up your brand and it how it ties into your collection and all the assets that you're developing. So this includes your brand messaging, what you're all about as a brand, your product offerings, how you're merchandising, your copies, your emails, like all that sort of stuff. And this is all, your brand story is also closely tied into brand assets, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. Actually, we're going to talk about it right now because this is the second thing. So the first thing, and I'm not going to go deep into your brand story because I did a whole episode on it last week. So if you haven't listened to it after this episode is over, listen to that episode. The next part of this is that you really need a cohesive collection. If your collection doesn't make sense and it's like all over the place, you'll make some sales. I'm not saying that you won't sell anything, but it will be really hard. It'll be a lot harder, not really hard. It'll be a lot harder to tell a story with your designs, and which also trickles down to how easy it is to sell product. And you know, I've shared this story a lot. And this also ties into the stuff that you're putting out there to actually market and brand yourself, your brand assets. So this could be like your website, your photography, all the copy that you use, your packaging, postcards, line sheets, catalogs, all those things that visually tell the story of your brand in addition to your collection. So it's all your marketing materials, which I consider your website a marketing material, and also your photography. So everything visually that you use to represent your brand. So these all need to be tied together really well. And I'm going to tell you a quick story and I'll keep it quick. But when I was first getting out there, I got an introduction by a friend of mine to one of my dream stores to be in, the store called Netier in San Francisco, an amazing, incredible store. I somehow pulled together my collection enough to get an appointment with them. And they placed an order. They loved my work. It had sold really quickly. And within a month, I was, you know, following up to see how things do, because that's part of the process, is to make sure that you're getting reorders from the people that you already have. That creates consistent sales cycle. Get it? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And when I went in for the next meeting, we had a little conversation and she's like, Tracy, I'm like, do you have any advice for me, Sherry? You know, I'm so excited that the collection's selling well. And she's like, yeah, you know, your pieces are great. They're super dainty. My customers love them. They're buying like 2-3 necklaces at a time to kind of layer. But one thing I think that's missing is you don't have enough assortment, but primarily you don't have enough statement things that kind of draw pieces into draw the customer's eye into the collection. So she walked me over to a case, and this is a case of Kathy Waterman jewelry. And I'm looking in the case and she's like, you know, Kathy Waterman designs really dainty jewelry. And I just want to show you like one of the pieces that draws a lot of attention to our case. And it was this beautiful like turquoise, Sleeping Beauty turquoise and platinum tassel sort of lariat style necklace. It was a one of a kind piece. And I remember always like admiring it when I was in the store. But I also loved Kathy Waterman's like dainty, tiny little studs. In fact, that year, my husband ended up buying me a pair. But one of the things she said, she's like, you know, this is a really expensive piece of jewelry. It's not the thing that we sell the most of. The thing that we sell the most of from Kathy Waterman are her engagement rings and her dainty little studs. But it's something that gets people's attention in the case. And so I'd really want to challenge you to kind of create that same excitement for your brand, because you do design dainty jewelry and people love it. But sometimes it can be overlooked because there's not something drawing their eye in. So you need to make sure that you have your product is creating a story and that there's enough types of pieces in the collection that sort of brings the whole thing together and gets people actually looking at it. And this is true for if you're selling in a store, if you're selling online, if you're selling on Etsy, no matter where you're selling. Like merchandising is, and by merchandising, I mean like how you're designing your collection, how you're displaying it and putting it all together is really important online and off to actually making sales. Like if you're just like throw it in a bin, sure, you'll get some people buying it thinking it's bargain basement stuff. But when you're thinking how it's going to look and you're actually sort of relaying that look and getting it out there, and then you tie it all together with everything else that is visually in front of your customers for your brand, this is where you have the opportunity to create, you know, this opportunity for consistent sales, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make. And once I started doing that, my sales started to skyrocket and Sherry noticed a difference and she started placing more consistent orders. I mean, I was stoked with once a month, but when I would go in every single month for a reorder from her, like she would order for me every single month. My $1,000 purchase orders started turning into $2,500, $3,000. Like she was ordering a lot more. And so if you can see, like when you nail all this down, it really helps you start getting more consistent sales, more reorders. And also, this also matters that you're bringing in enough collections every single year, enough new designs for people to actually buy again. Because someone might see one of your collections and love it and buy a couple pieces, but like once they're kind of done with that collection, they're done with it. And then they move on to, they want more, they want new or something different. So we are, you know, in our bootcamp, we're talking all about this. So if you haven't joined, I would really recommend that you jump in now. Head on over to floristthriveacademy.com/makeover and get in there and dive right into some of this stuff because we're actually walking you through how to do all of this stuff. It's really the fast and simple blueprint to attract the right clients and help you start doubling your sales next year. So if you're not in there yet, make sure that you're joining us. All right. The next step, step number three, next way, I should say, is don't reinvent the wheel just yet. And here's what I mean by that. To create this consistent sales cycle, you actually need to take a look at three things. So hopefully, and if you haven't, there's no shame in this. Hopefully you're getting sales in some way, shape, or form right now. And that might be even just to friends and family, trunk shows that you're doing or whatever. Or you might actually be selling to stores and you're trying to get into the online game and you want more consistent sales on your website. All that's important. So you need to take a look at three things. Where are you getting sales right now? What can you do to expand that avenue? But I think this is really important. And then where do you want to go? The reason why I say this is because sometimes people, let's say you're like worn out by doing all these in-person trunk shows. You just want to cut out all the trunk shows, but you're cutting off the lifeblood of your business, all these sales coming in because you're exhausted. So what I would recommend is to continue doing what's working, but create a plan about where you want to go. And so that's why I say, don't reinvent the wheel just yet. Expand a little bit more deeply for sure on the things that are lighting you up. So if you're doing something in your business, like you're having some sort of promotion on your website that's working really well and getting people to consistently buy like on a quarterly or half yearly basis, then keep doing those things. Like Lisa Lehman, you probably heard me interview her on a previous episode, is doing a great job with Facebook Live sales. In fact, a lot of the designers and our Diamond Insiders and in our communities are testing out her Facebook Live strategies and they're working really well for her. She just hosted another trunk show. It went great, a Facebook Live trunk show. And that's working for her to get consistent sales into her business. Now she has goals of other things that she wants to do to continue to expand her already successful business. But, you know, and she has a vision of where she wants to go, but she's not ditching the things that are actually working now. And I think that is an important thing to remember. And when you're just starting out, it really takes just, you know, a process of discovery to figuring out what is going to work for you and to test some of these things out. And when I want to give you an example from my own business. When I first started out, like my primary business model was to design jewelry for bridesmaids. I was getting married. Some of my best friends were getting married. And I had an immediate market. And, you know, the bridal market is something that never goes away. So for those of you who are in the bridal industry, you know that it never goes away. You're going to have young brides, and then you're going to have people who get married, divorced, and remarried again. So it's something that is always going to happen. And the bridesmaids jewelry market was a big market for me because I had all, I was the audience for it. I designed necklaces for my bridesmaids, and then the word caught on and other people were buying them. So no, that wasn't really like the market I wanted to be in, but it was working. So I kept picking up customers who wanted me to design bridesmaids jewelry for them because it was bringing money into my business until I could eventually get into enough wholesale stores, because that was my business model at the time, to sort of let that avenue of revenue kind of slide away, just like quietly. And that's how you grow a business. You know, it's like you test things and you let them slide away. And I know when I started my second business, my Tracy Matthews Jewelry Group, when I first started out, I was doing a lot of different things like diamond reselling. I was doing private label for customers. I was designing jewelry for entrepreneurs. Like I was doing a lot of different things. But what I realized is that 95% of my income and my happiness level was designing engagement rings, special occasion pieces, and heirloom redesigns. So I ended up over the years dropping all of those other things. I will occasionally pick up a private label client here and there if it's someone that I enjoy working with, but it's not a huge revenue stream for me anymore because I know that what is making me happy, it was something that I was doing because it was bringing money in, but now I have enough business in the other areas that I don't need to do that anymore. Does that make sense? So don't reinvent the wheel just yet. Create a plan based on where you are now, keep that money coming in, and then you can start to transition the live trunk shows if they're exhausting to you, or the wholesale accounts if you don't want to do that anymore, or maybe it's that you want to transition into those things. You can start creating a plan by taking what's actually working now and continuing with it. All right. Number four is consistency in your marketing. So I wanted to ask you a question. I'm starting this section off with asking you a question. How much time are you really spending on revenue generating activities that are working, or what we like to call RGAs? If you really want consistent sales, 75% of your time must be spent on revenue generating activities, not creating new pieces, not, you know, tweaking what you already have. It's actually doing things that are going to sell your products. So that could be anything from, you know, marketing on social media. That could be, you know, putting yourself out there and creating trunk shows, pitching stores, pitching media, like all these things, connecting with influencers, creating partnerships. All these things are revenue generating activities. And the list goes on and on. I'm not going to babble them off in this podcast, but you need to be focused on things that are bringing money into your business. If you're not doing that and you're sitting behind your bench and mostly creating new product, I want you to think about two things. Number one, do you want to keep this a hobby? Because that is totally fine and there's nothing wrong with it. And number two, are you really willing to do what it takes to have a business? And it's not that it's that hard. Running a business is not easy. I'm not going to lie to you because it's really not. But do you have the passion and the excitement level to actually move this forward? Like, is there nothing that's more exciting to you than seeing a stranger walk down the street wearing a piece of your jewelry? Because for me, that is exciting. For me, there's nothing better than seeing designing an engagement ring for someone and having them text me a picture saying, "We did it. She loves the ring." Like I start crying. Like one of my customers, Michael, texted me a picture last week. I just created this amazing engagement ring for his fiance now. And she's like, "She loves it." And he sent me like three pictures. And I'm like, "Can I tag you guys on social media?" And he's like, "More professional pictures are coming. Thank you so much. You know, what you did was just, this is incredible. She's so happy." Like to me, there's nothing that lights me up more than that. I love it. It's like I could do it day in and day out. And I had a customer text me the other day saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about getting engaged. Can you chat this week?" And I'm just like, "Yes." And I was like one of those crazy people texting him back, like so many texts because I just get so excited about it. So I know that I'm on the right path because I love doing it. And I don't mind asking for the sale. And I don't mind continuing to network and putting myself out there, even if people say no, because it happens a lot, because there's nothing better than getting that reaction from someone for me. And so I want you to really think, like, what is it worth? Like, what's the cost? And if you are willing to put yourself out there, like, and consistently market yourself, you can have consistent sales right away. It's just a matter of strategy and focusing on the things that are going to move the needle quickest. A lot of people spend all this time, like, you know, on having the perfect Instagram page and having the perfect Pinterest page. And while those things are amazing to continue to drive traffic to your site, that's probably not going to move the needle the quickest. Those are long game plans that take time to build. And they are very important to a brand. But like, what if you were to partner with an influencer that could drive, you know, thousands of people to your website in one with one partnership, one affiliate partnership where they make some money based on the arrangement that you created? Like, that is going to go a lot further than you spending all this time on something that is not going to move the needle as quickly. Now, I'm not saying that that stuff isn't important, because I would be a fool to tell you that that stuff isn't important, like having a really amazing Instagram presence and also really focusing on a great Pinterest strategy. But you want to think about the things that are going to actually move the needle fastest is the point. And keep your consistent marketing up. And at the end of the day, you really want to make this about your dream client. Nothing other than that. Make it about your dream client. Number five is learn how to basically close a sale. This is something people feel so awkward with. You know, people always compliment you on your jewelry and you're like, oh, well, thanks. You don't know what to do after someone says that. Raise your hand if you get compliments on your jewelry all the time and then you don't know what to say after that. So this is about, I used to work at Nordstrom in my 20s. This is how I put myself through school, how I paid for my college and how I supported myself during that time. And then also when I got married, moved to San Francisco and started building my jewelry business, I was still working at Nordstrom for about a year and a half before I started my business full time. And maybe it was just a year. It doesn't matter. But anyway, one of the lessons that we learned was this sort of, they had this analogy, don't drop the ball. And I was on track for Pacesetter a couple years in a row. Like, that's their top tier salesperson program. And I was like, we go to these sales meetings. It'd be like kind of annoying, but I actually really learned a lot from them, because one of the analogies was sort of like, make it easy for your customer to buy and don't drop the ball. Like, and what they mean by don't dropping the ball is like, don't leave it in their hands. You pick up the ball and run with it. And you're the one who's proactive. And I was listening to a podcast last week, and the guy on the podcast was talking about his experience at Nordstrom and about how the salesperson went above and beyond to actually make the sale happen. And, you know, it just reminded me of those days, you know, don't drop the ball. So you need to learn, number one, how to close a sale and to follow up with your customers and to not leave it in their hands to follow up with you. Because what I hear a lot of designers doing, someone compliments you on your jewelry and you say, oh, thank you. Or you hand them your business card or something like that. And just say, like, there are conversations that you can have to actually be the one who's proactive about it. Sure, give them your business card. Great idea. But think about how you can take it a step further. Share with them any meaning behind the piece that you're wearing, or tell them, you know, there's a lot of other pieces. I'd love to follow up with you if you're up for it. Otherwise, you know, check out my site. Don't be pushy and weird, but find a way to weave it into some way that you can actually get their information and follow up with them. That is the best way to do this. If you've got a live show, you can have an email list, follow up with everyone who signs up for that email list or bought from you and thank them personally for attending. Do one-on-one interactions. Don't just drop them into an email list campaign. That's a great way to do it, but you wanna make them feel special. And then also, when you're doing things that are a little bit more broader marketing or digital marketing, make sure that everywhere on your website, everything in your newsletter, everything in the emails that you write has a very strong call to action, and only one call to action, not too many. It's like, don't say like, here are a few ways that you can find my jewelry, like join me at this trunk show over here, or shop on my website, or if you want, call me, or do this or do that. And I know it's tempting because you want to give people a lot of options, but a lot of times the more options you give, the more confused they get, and then they do nothing. So if you can have a strong call to action, like shop the collection on my website with a link to the collection, or you might want to see more pieces that work with this, some of the other pieces that I design on my website, go here to shop and send them right to that stuff so that they're not confused. You'll have a better chance of getting them hooked on your brand and actually getting a sale. And then same thing with one-on-one interactions with clients or pages on your website. Like if you're writing blog content, give them one thing to do. My one thing to do, particularly pretty much on every single blog post that I have on my TracyMatthews.com website, is to get them to fill out my custom jewelry form. That is the one thing. So if you want people to shop on your site, get them, you know, have a call to action button at the bottom of your blog post. Get them to shop the look or whatever it is that you're talking about, or take that next logical step. Anytime I am corresponding with someone about a custom piece of jewelry, at the end of each email, I have in bold, here are the next steps. And then I list things out if I need them to do more than one thing, because sometimes that is the case. Like I'll need them to send me pictures. I'll need them to send me ring sizes. Like all these things are important, but make sure that you make it really clear on what to do next and ideally only have one call to action. And that is just the first step of closing a sale, guys. It's not that hard, right? We all think of it as being like salesy and cheesy, but you know, people love jewelry and they want to buy it. So why not buy yours, right? The next step is to subtly ask for feedback. This is number six. You subtly ask for feedback about your product. So you could do this in a lot of ways. You can have polls on social media. You can do quizzes on your website. You can have surveys and emails. You can actually ask customers when they say yes or no, what it is about your jewelry that made them want to buy. This all gives you invaluable insight so that you can help serve your customers better. So for instance, a fun way to get interaction and engagement on social media is to do side-by-side comparisons. Which piece is your favorite, A or B? And then you'll get a lot of engagement on that post and get people interacting, but also like sort of liking your jewelry. So you can even link in the post where they can find those products, but you're creating a conversation about the piece, not actually selling it, but also getting more information and feedback on the designs that people like more. And sometimes it's a tie, so it's not going to give you that much feedback, but it's also just like a fun way to get people excited. But if you don't get a tie and they're leaning towards one piece, you have design feedback on your collection right there. You can get opinions on stuff. Do you like gold or silver better? You know, it's like just different ways to kind of interact with people about what your dream clients would actually like. And it's creating engagement along the way. Another thing I love, and we're working on this year with Flourish and Thrive, and I've been working on it for years on my brand, but to have some sort of front-end quiz on your website so that people can self-evaluate and understand how your jewelry actually fits into their design look or whatever. So you might might design things that could work with different kinds of fashion looks, etc. Show them that the look is for them with a quiz. Have them fill out like a 5 to 7 question quiz and then give them like a PDF or an assessment at the end that shows them where they can buy that jewelry on your website and tell them a little bit more about yourself. This is a great way to sort of learn more about your customers, as I mentioned, so that you can write sales copy and write emails directed at them, but also get insights on what it is that they actually like. You can also put surveys in your emails, and this is a great way to get feedback on your service, on what they liked about your jewelry brand, but also things that you can improve on. And I know we don't always like to hear the negative stuff, but it's really important to hear that feedback because this is part of the process of improving your brand so that people only think of you first. And there's so many ways that you can do this. So think outside of the box, but ask your customers. Like, let's say you go and show your collection to a wholesale store and they don't buy. You can ask them for feedback on your collection about why they didn't buy it. And you will understand a lot more about the buying habits of wholesale buyers who have your dream clients shopping at their stores. So it's invaluable feedback, and be open to listening to it because it's very, very helpful in growing your business. Number 7, follow up and make the customers you already have your biggest fans, and they'll sell for you. So we have this thing that you've heard about that we like to talk about a lot over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy, which is called the sharing economy. You might have heard this in, you know, marketing messages all around because it is the hugest thing. With the rise in social media and platforms like Pinterest, where things are very shareable, people can share pins, people can share posts, people share what influencers doing, influencers sharing what you're doing, customers share what you're doing. I get tagged by my customers all the time in their posts. Engagement ring by Tracy Matthews. I have this one client who I designed engagement rings and wedding bands, and she texts me all the time just for fun. She was obsessed with her wedding girl, and they got married about a year ago now, and she still is posting pictures of her wedding and tagging me in photographs. And that's just a great way for people to share what you do because they love what you do. And so remember that. This goes on and on. And You can do this by sending them thank you notes, asking them for testimonials, asking them for reviews on your products, and, you know, getting them to share images. You can ask them to share. You can share images of them, and that gets them excited, and they want to share images of you, of what you're doing on their social media. So think outside of the box there. I also think a really great thing to do is actually pick up the phone and call your customers to thank them for their order. They will be so surprised, even if you just leave a message, especially if you even have a low-end product. Like, do like one day a week and do call campaigns towards your customers, because number one, it's a great way for you to thank them, but surprise and delight them. Some people are going to get annoyed because they don't like to be called, but also, like, if they just know that you're just calling to thank them for the order, they're going to be surprised and delighted. Trust me on this. They are going to love it. And then the last thing you could do is send them a surprise that they aren't expecting. You know, every now and then for your best customers, send them a little gift in the mail. Send them something that is really going to, you know, catch them off guard to remember your brand. You can have branded little candies made, or you can send them a free piece of jewelry, you know. And, you know, obviously this costs something, but it's something that you can do that is really exciting for them and creates a connection. And I want to talk about the 7.5 thing. And it's not really a half, but, you know, I thought it'd be fun to put this in half because I can't wrap up this episode without talking about the core thing that is important, which is persistence and mindset. Persistence and having the right mindset is the most important thing to getting consistent sales. The more resilient you can be and keep putting yourself out there, the better results you are always going to have. And all this stuff will just start to compound upon each other over and over and over again. And then before you know it, you're going to have like these sales that totally ramped up and you're like, oh my gosh, my business increased by 20% this year. So I'd really love to encourage you to put this into action. And I want you to put that into action by doing something in particular. I want you to join us for our Unforgettable Jewelry Brand Masterclass, How to Create an Unforgettable Jewelry Brand in 2018. This is an amazing masterclass that are going to take everything that I've been talking about in the last couple of episodes and help you really tie it together. If you're in the Jewelry Brand Makeover Bootcamp or you haven't joined yet, please join us there. I will have the link for that over at the show notes. But make sure that you register for this masterclass. It is one of the best things that we do over here at Flourish and Thrive Academy. We have some really great examples of jewelry designers in our community who are doing this for themselves. And we show you how you can do this for yourself as well, so that 2018 becomes the year of consistent sales or more consistent sales for your jewelry brand. You are going to also grab the Fast and Simple Blueprint to attract the right clients and double your sales so that you can actually work less this year. Because I really want you to stop spending time on the things that aren't working. And I want you to focus your time on the things that actually are working so your sales and business grow. This is kicking off Tuesday, January 16th. So head on over to flourishthriveacademy.com/unforgettable brand. That's flourishthriveacademy.com/unforgettable brand and register right there. You won't regret it. I promise you. I'm going to wrap this up just mentioning that this is great for those of you who are just starting out, those of you who have some consistent sales, but you're trying to really get to that next level. And also those of you who have had a business for a while and you're getting a lot of sales, but you're really trying to like elevate your brand and create one of those iconic sort of brands that you see in all the best stores, that you see online everywhere, that are getting featured in magazines on a really consistent basis. So we're going to tie this all together to get you there too. So please join us over at flourishthriveacademy.com/unforgettable brand. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. This was a little bit longer than usual, and I'm not going to apologize for that because I think there was really great stories and content in here. But thank you for listening today. It's just my pleasure to bring you this podcast because I have a blast doing it. I don't know about you. Hope you love listening to it. Anyway, take care. Until next time, it's Tracy Matthews signing off.